We got the guy Breland in the house, man. What's going on?
Yo.
Dude, okay. First, I want to talk about this song.
Yes, sir.
In my truck.
Yeah, man.
I have so many things I want to ask.
Go ahead.
Do you get the clearance from Dre and 50 to do in the club?
Yeah, man. I guess you just ask them real nice. Just
well, like walk me through a more detail.
Yeah,
you get Dr. Dre's phone number.
I wish that it had been more personal, you know, or that I had like gone and flown out and then kicked it with them at, you know, at the crib and put on some, you know, Beats headphones and you know whatever. But it was really you know, some people on my team that were able to connect with some people on their team. And ultimately, they did personally have to make the decision as to whether or not they were cool with it. And we were able to get them to both say yes, which to my understanding, they don't really do a whole lot. People have tried to flip their songs in the past and, you know, they typically say no. So I don't know what it was about this one that made them say yes, but we took that as a real positive sign, and we're just trying to find the right time to get it out. I recorded this song, oddly enough, literally back in August, and I was actually playing some shows for the troops out in Eastern Europe, like Kosovo and Tbilisi, Georgia, and that's where I literally cut these vocals, was in my hotel room off a few miles off the bases that we were playing on. And I was like, you know, the moment struck and I was like, oh, I gotta record this right now. And I always travel with a mobile rig, and so
same, I got one for the radio.
You have to.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool, I'm gonna cut this right now. And I was hoping that we could get it out, you know, before the summer was over. But obviously we had to get those clearances, and by the time we had gotten them, it was, you know, October, and it's like, it's such a summer record. Like, we might have to wait until the spring. And so being able to get this out in March, I feel like is perfect timing, and I'm glad it worked out that way.
When you record a song in a hotel room, are you tripping a little bit because everybody can hear you in the hallway when they're eating breakfast?
For
stuff?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I did get a noise complaint, in Georgia. Someone was like, I guess I was being a little loud doing ad libs or whatever, but I'm like, you don't understand. I think this is a hit, you know. Y'all don't know me, you don't know anything I've done, but I think this might be a hit. So I was okay with that, you know, it worked out.
Okay.
And then we went and shot the music video for this song, which comes out today. And the music video for it, we shot in Japan. So it really is like this global kind of the all of the makings of how we put this together was like kind of literally all over the globe. We got three continents involved here. So pretty cool.
Is there any talk of 50 Cent or Dre joining you on a remix or anything yet?
Man, I have this idea that we could do something like that for an award show. So it's really a matter of like ACM, CMAs, People's Choice, Country, whatever, whoever has the, you know, the guts to bring 50 Cent and Dr. Dre out, I'm ready to do it. And I think that would be awesome.
Now, In the Club came out, but you weren't allowed to listen to secular music.
There was no chance I was listening to that song when it first came out.
So how old were you, or how old was it when you first heard it? Like, did
probably
you just
would have been like
club?
10.
Okay.
And I definitely heard it, you know, at school, or, you know, friends of mine who were listening to it at the time. But yeah, my parents, you know, anything that says parental advisory on it means that my parents can't listen to it.
Have you heard the unedited version too? Because there's two different versions.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. At what age did you hear the unedited version?
Probably in high school.
Okay.
I'd say probably in high school. I ended up going to a boarding school for high school. So I was living on campus, and then people were giving me all these songs that I hadn't heard, or versions of songs that I hadn't heard. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and very eye opening when you come from listening to only music that glorifies the Lord, to hearing about all these things that are happening in the club.
Have you seen like the some of the rap videos from that era?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I've been trying to get myself in shape so I can recreate some of the shots from the original video, you know, where he's upside down doing the crunches and all that. I think I'm close.
Okay.
I think I'm close.
Right.
Give me some time.
Did you used to sneak music back then when you couldn't listen to stuff like
that? A little bit. My sister snuck some music. She had some of the Destiny's Child stuff. Now, I will say As far as secular music goes, one of the first artists in the secular space of like modern secular music that my parents did like was Rascal Flatts.
Okay.
Because we had all gone to see Disney Cars and came across Life is a Highway, and my parents are both singers, and they're like, this guy can sing. and the music was all clean. So yeah. They were like, we listened to some of the Rascal Flatts stuff pretty early on, and you know, years later, Gary and I are friends, and you know, we got some music out together too. But yeah, I mean, back in that time, I didn't even really have an interest in listening to a lot of those songs that had, you know, cuss words in it and
right.
all of this other stuff, because I thought, I'm like, no, I, you know, and also I don't think 10-year-olds need to be listening to that right. in the first place, you know, take religion aside. Yeah. I just don't think that all of that music is intended for kids. And, you know, I'll have certain references in some of my songs, but I always make sure that my music is clean, because there's always these situations where, you know, you get asked to go play at a middle school somewhere, yeah. and you're like, you know, what am I gonna sing? You know,
right,
so
right.
you know, there's some drinking in this song, obviously, but for the rest of it, it is pretty clean. So hopefully, the kids can still enjoy it.
How would you fill in the lyrics? You can find me in the with a bottle full of
right.
What,
yeah.
No, what is it?
I mean, in
your day.
Yeah, I mean, in my version of the song, we say you can find me in my truck, radio up, Friday Night Lights, girls dancing in the mud. Jeans looking tight, thinking falling in love. So it the rhyme scheme of it, just from like a, you know, poetry and meter perspective, it actually all lines up pretty perfectly. You know, go shawty, it's your birthday. We gonna party like it's your birthday. Sipping whiskey like it's your birthday. And you know, we don't give a damn if it's your birthday. You know, it really does all line up on the hook. But because there's this melodic aspect to it, and obviously guitars and all these instruments that you don't hear in the 50 version, if you didn't immediately know, like, you might listen, there's going to be some people, especially some young people, who listen to this, and this is the first version of this song that they sure. will have heard, and then they'll probably be somewhere and be like, oh my gosh, he flipped the Breland song, and that's absolutely not
you
the case.
You.
So I want to make sure people know, okay. I don't even want them to think that, you know, because this song wouldn't exist if it weren't for the 50 version. But yeah, I think we did a pretty good job of trying to make it
definitely.
Feel original while also, you know, paying homage to, you know, the original.
Definitely. And then in social media, you had people get in your truck.
Yeah.
Was that your actual truck?
That was my drummer's truck, because he's got a nicer truck than me. I felt like it made more sense for the video. But
wait a minute. This is the backwards here.
Hey, look, at the end of the day, if I want to get people out on Broadway to get in a truck with a black man they don't know, you gotta understand, bro, like, nobody, you gotta come with your best shot. And honestly, it worked out pretty well. One of the people we tried to get in, and he was like, nah, I'm good. And then he like was chasing us down the street, and he was like, hey, actually, he's like, my girl knows who you are. I was like, okay, cool. He's like, we want to get in. I was like, okay, cool. So it's you know, cool content. You know, and honestly, those were people's real reactions. If you see that video of me getting people in, maybe we'll have to run another you know, another video like that, because it was cool, honestly,
yeah.
to get people's. Because I think a lot of times I'll post a song, and most of the people who see the snippet, or even people when we're out playing shows, like, they are in, they want to be supportive because they're already a fan of my music, or, you know, they've paid a ticket to come see this show or this festival. So they're already
yeah.
kind of primed for it, versus I'm like, and I tell people, and you know, when they come in, I'm like, hey, give me your real reaction. Don't give me the I'm on camera reaction,
okay.
you know, because I want to know. If you don't like it, tell me that, because I want people to see that too. I don't want to try to
That's
create
fair.
Something that isn't real.
Yeah.
And honestly, all of their reactions were great. So,
and you're right about what you said, because like when Shaboozy Bar Song came out, people were like, oh, this guy Jaquan redid Shaboozy song.
Right. There are a lot of people
yeah.
who heard the Shaboozy record honestly did even better than the Jaquan song did, you know, as far as like chart success or number of certifications or all
Are
of that.
Are you pissed if yours doesn't beat in the club?
Not at all. I think if we even got in that stratosphere, I would be super blessed. I mean, that's one of the best performing hip hop songs of all time. So if we were even close to, you know, to that, I think we would have done our job.
Okay. I want to talk about Breland and Friends.
Yes, sir.
You signed up Walker Hayes.
Yeah.
Are you guys buddies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. I played some shows with Walker back in summer of 2023. And he, you know, him and his family were super gracious to us to bring us out. And he's just a cool guy. I mean, we've written some music together too, so hopefully we can get some music out. But you know, I just figure I'll call everybody, you know, like when it comes to Breland and Friends, this is our fifth year doing it. And I try to bring out a different group of artists each year. You know, we've got Ashley Cook, Dasha, Caitlin Butts, Walker Hayes. We got a couple that have yet to be announced. And then we have a couple surprise guests in the genre, including an artist that I've tried to get all 5 years. And they're finally doing it this year. So very, very excited for that. If you guys are anywhere near Nashville when you hear this, it will be worth coming out because you would not be able to see this artist for the price that we're charging for you to be able to see him.
Wow,
I promise you.
Okay, you calling in some favors?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Calling in the favors because you know what? It's a charitable event, man. Yeah. I don't see a dime off of it, and I wouldn't want to. 100% of the proceeds go to the Oasis Center. They do great work here in Middle Tennessee helping young people, teens in crisis. That could be anything from you know, homelessness to substance abuse to, you know, mental health and suicidal ideation to, you know, any number of things, you know. And so I have a heart for that, and I want to be able to help these kids. And I love this organization and what they do. And the fact that all of these different artists are down to come out and perform a song, you know, literally just for the love of the game and for the love of the community, that means a lot to me.
Do you ever tell people like Walker Hayes, do you ever rib on him? Like, he could be your dad?
I mean, he probably couldn't be my dad.
I mean, he's 46 and you're 30.
He would be
a player, man.
You know what? It does happen sometimes. You know, I think about it sometimes. You know, last year we had Vince Gill.
He could be your dad.
And yeah, Vince is almost maybe old enough to be my grandpa. Low key, because he's 68.
Yeah, grandpa vibes.
So, yeah, we got 48 years between us. Like, probably could be old enough to.
Yeah.
Or, what? Let me do the math. Am I doing the math on that
it
right?
Could be
38
great-grandma.
Years. Yeah, 38 years on that. Yeah. But still, that is technically old enough. My he's only 3 years, a few years younger than my actual grandma. So.
Is it weird hanging out with people like that?
Nah, man. Yeah. Music is, anyone who makes music is like ageless and timeless, man. There's people who are like 20 years old and people who are 70 years old who I've worked with. And when we're in that creative zone, we're all equals.
I like that. Is there any worry that this song's called In My Truck and you've already done My Truck?
It was a conversation. I definitely will win the award for two songs with the most similar titles. I don't think there's a lot of people who, you know what I mean? Like, can you imagine if, like, you know, Walker Hayes had the... you know, fancy like, and then he had another song that was like, you know, real fancy like, you know,
right.
It would be people, you know,
I gotta be honest. When I saw the email, I was like, wait a minute,
this can't be right.
Email?
No, it's a new email. And honestly, the songs are pretty different.
One of them is
saying, hey, don't touch the truck, and the other one is saying, hey, there's probably a bunch of people in the truck.
Yeah.
You know, at a minimum, I'm in the truck. but it definitely was a thought, but then I also figured, I'm like, look, man, that's my biggest song. A lot of people know it, you know, it's been, you know, a couple times platinum now, and, it's been a while, and it's also been a year and a half since I've put out any music at all. I think people are mostly going to associate this song probably with the 50 Cent record before they would associate it with, My Truck. But based on the title alone, it'll be interesting to see as this song, you know, hopefully gets more popular, you know, which of those ends up being the one that people associate me with. But in the meantime, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, definitely, man. What was it like being on the Joe and Jada podcast?
Yeah, dude. Shout out to Fat Joe and Jadakiss. I felt like for a song like this, as far as like where we wanted to like do the initial tease of the record, you know, there were a bunch of country places. We almost called you, bro. We almost. But I felt like for this record, especially with it being a hip hop flip, that I wanted to be able to kind of give it up, you know, to hip hop culture.
Definitely.
And, Joe and Jada are super, super tapped in, obviously, when it comes to, you know, hip hop, especially anything that's reminiscent of 2000s hip hop. They're both legends in their own right.
That's the first time I heard it was when they played it, and they were like, oh!
And I, when I, bro, number I was one. Sitting there nervous, bro, because they hadn't heard it before the song. They literally listened to it for the first time studio.
I don't know.
Their producers told me in advance, they said, hey, they're not going to sugarcoat it, man. If they don't like it, they're going to tell you it's trash. And I'm like, man, we flew up to New York. They might hate it.
Dude.
And then this is going to be a bad idea, you know, and ultimately they understood what it was. And, you know, even though it's outside of, you know, genre wise, outside of the type of music that they typically cover and that they typically listen to, it was cool to be able to get that stamp of approval, too. So I'm we got 50 of Dr. Dre. And we also have Fat Joe and Jadakiss. I feel like I'm assembling like the Avengers of 2000s hip hop to help me promote this song.
If
so,
the single art isn't you like this, what are we doing?
It's me sitting on a Japanese Decatora truck.
Let's go.
You know, with my legs and arms out. Okay. Like, this is it.
That's it. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who do you still want to work with? You've worked with everybody from Keith Urban to Nelly, Shania.
Yeah, man. I've gotten a bunch of legends. I've gotten some of the younger artists. I mean, I feel like everybody's going to say Ella Langley because she's super hot right now. But I like her music. I think she's talented. I'm thinking about, I mean, me and Shaboozy have made some music already, but nothing that's come out. I'm like, we got to get one that comes out.
Okay.
And then, you know, I feel like Tucker Wetmore is an interesting one, too. You know, there's this younger crowd of country artists that are kind of popping off right now. Like, all of them have different influences in the music, you know, you know, and it kind of leans, you know, that's why they're all kind of going crazy in the pop spaces too, because all of their music is so accessible. I feel like this song and some of the songs that I have coming up kind of fit in a similar space. So I think all of those collabs would make sense.
And, tell me about a fan meet and greet that sticks with you.
Man, I've got a couple. One that really comes to mind, I was at CMA Fest a few years ago and had just played this show, and I was doing an activation where, you know, people could come over and say what's up. And there was a guy who came over and he said, hey, man, you know, I'm a nurse, you know, former military, and I live out in the Memphis area, and I just do free healthcare for veterans who need it. And I was like, man, that's incredible. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you for everything you do. He said, you and me do the same work. I said, no, we don't. You know, I sing songs and I go out and drink with my friends. You know, like, we don't do the same work. He's like, no, we do the same work. He's like, you know, if loving people is at the heart of what you do, and that's what I got from you being on stage, then that's what I do. We're in the same business. And I ended up writing a song called Same Work that I got the Warren Treaty on, because I felt like it was a message that, you know, I wanted to be able to share. And, you know, Mike is a veteran as well, served for a number of years out in the Middle East. So being able to get them on that song, I mean, it really is a true story of a fan meet and greet that I was just like, that's like on the heartwarming tip. And then I've also had, you know, a situation where like, someone has come up and, you know, a woman has asked me to sign her arm, and then I see her a year later and it's a tattoo now.
Yo, you got that?
And I'm
that?
Like, yeah, oh yeah. I've got probably three people tattooed on my arm, which I'm like, it's a little odd because I'm like, yo, what if I just decided I was going to stop making music or like something happened and then you have to live with this forever?
Right.
Like, that you're really investing in me, you know,
dude,
early, you know? So
there's a girl out there that has my tattoo on her butt.
Wow.
My signature. When I was on a radio station in Detroit.
Oh boy.
And we had Mariah Carey tickets to give away. And I said, if anybody would come in and get my signature live on the radio on their butt, I would give them Mariah Carey tickets.
Wow.
And this girl did. They were.
That's got to be a fantasy.
They were. I see what you did there. They were upper deck. But I see what you're saying, because
right.
I often wonder, this poor. Yeah, they were upper deck. They were awful.
Yeah.
I often wonder, this poor girl, 20-something years later, has some washed-up DJ on her butt.
But you know what?
You know what I'm saying?
Was the Mariah show great?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm
you
sure
didn't
it was.
Go. Yeah. I hope it was great. You know, I hope it wasn't one of those shows, because every artist, even the legends, have shows where we just aren't on our A game. And it happens. It happens to me. I've seen it happen to people who are way bigger than me. If she had gotten a permanent tattoo for a show that she ended up being pretty ambivalent about, That would be even worse. I'm hoping she enjoyed it and that Mariah came out and did her big one.
From the upper deck.
I hope so, man. I really do for her sake.
I think you should flip it up and get a fan to autograph you and you get it tattooed.
Now, maybe. You know what? I'm not going to rule it out. I think if this song gets as big, let's do this.
Okay, let's do
it. If this song goes 5 times platinum or more,
okay,
I will get a fan's
tattoo.
Oh, your tattoo.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
But that is a verbal contract.
Okay, 5 times platinum. What is
if
that?
If this song goes 5 times platinum, 5 million? Yeah, 5 million.
Okay, is that streams?
No.
Okay.
No, that would be like probably 1 billion streams.
Okay, so
if we put up a billion
streams,
yeah,
or 5 times platinum. Yeah. You'll get a
let's do it. Right on my butt cheeks, man.
Hell yeah. All right. You That's heard insane. It here first.
That's insane.
Joe and Jada didn't get that. No. Hey, well, thank you, dude. Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having me, man. Breathing and Friends, April 8th. In my truck out now.
Hell yeah. All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes to talk about this interview with Breland. Man, I love this kid, man. He's so bright.
I checked here now 1 week out from the actual conversation, and he's a little bit short of that billion streams that he needs to get the tattoo. Currently at 54,000, so.
Oh, okay.
We got to get it up there. Kind of get
that
in there.
I guess it takes time, you know. I don't know. I don't know how fast Shaboozy took over, you know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Does that mean that the song isn't catching?
No. Too soon. You know, too soon. Because this is an independent artist now. He's releasing music on Bad Realm Records, which is, I assume, his own label or a smaller label that he's attached to. So those kind of songs often, like, the promotional machine isn't as front-loaded. It takes a little bit of a viral thing or some sort of moment or to catch on at the country club or elsewhere. So it might be end of summer before it really even catches stream.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. That makes sense. Because I saw some of the video view numbers, and I was like, okay, is my cash not reset? Is it not, what? Is it not resetting itself? It didn't look like it was as high as it could be, but that makes a lot of sense.
What he could use is a little engagement from like 50 Cent or Dr. Dre, like a little kiss on the song, and that could send it off, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. I agree, and maybe that'll happen. You know,
yeah.
I thought it was cool that they approved it. You know, from other podcasts that I've listened to in the past, you know, they don't really get into approving people redoing or using the records or anything like that. And I really hope that it works out for Breland, that he gets to meet Dr. Dre and 50 Cent, because that would be cool.
Here's the thing, though, that I was kind of wondering. Do they have to approve it? Like, I always thought you could just kind of use the song and you just got to pay out the royalties.
Yeah, I think, you know, if he wants to avoid, like, a back-end lawsuit, you know, because I always hear like, yeah, they didn't approve the sample, so now I get all the money. You know, something like an example. This is a far fetched example, but in Cisco's Thong song, way back, you know, 20 something years ago, Cisco didn't clear "Livin' La Vida Loca" lyric. Well, now I'm living La Vida Loca with Ricky Martin, because he thought that they were friends and he would call me. He was like, that's just a phone call. I'll make that phone call later. He never did. So most of the earnings of that song ended up going to Ricky Martin. He doesn't make money off of it. I think it's a money thing.
You know who else had to pay out pretty big? Darius Rucker, the Hootie and Blowfish song that kind of references a Bob Dylan song. And they put that out, and on the back end, they had to pay Bob Dylan pretty handsomely.
Yeah, I think that makes them avoid having to pay anything on the back end. If you can come to an agreement, you know, ahead of time, and, you know, maybe they saw something in Breland and saw he's an independent artist, and, he goes viral a lot. You know, maybe they wanted to throw him a bone, you know, and if this song turns out to be huge, he'll get to keep whatever they worked out, you know, amount of money. I would assume maybe Dr. Dre and them were like, you know, we'll take 20%. I don't know. I'm just throwing numbers out there.
This interview was kind of right in your wheelhouse. I mean, you got a country artist who's covering like early 2000s hip hop, and we get to talk about Fat Joe and Jadakiss and 50 Cent. Like, I felt like you could have gone on about Fat Joe for 10 minutes with these guys. Which
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because I on Netflix, I watch the Fat Joe and Jadakiss podcast a lot, and I saw Breland on there. So to me, having Breland in here was like a fanboy moment, because I was like, dude, you were just on their podcast. You know, so I thought that was cool. And, you know, I believe him when he says that they didn't preview the song beforehand, because I – knowing what I know about those artists, I feel like they'd be like, nah, I don't want to hear it until he comes in, you know? And there's a chance that they hear that and they're like, that is not it. Although I don't see them doing that, I also don't see them lying to Breland and the fans and saying that it's good if it's not.
Well, they knew already that 50 Cent and Dr. Dre had given the thumbs up when he brought it to them. So I feel like to tell him, like, you know, we don't really care for your song, that would almost be like an insult to 50 and Dre, wouldn't it?
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I didn't think about that. It could have been a lot of politics there, you know, a lot of politics. But I'll tell you what, the most interesting thing to me is the... sometimes you ask me, what's the one thing I went home to tell my wife about? It was the fact that he got complaints in a hotel room, because I always wonder that, because there's so many artists that I've talked to over the years in all genres of music that have mentioned that they recorded the lyrics in a hotel room. And I had just gotten back from a trip with my family to Dollywood, where we stayed in a hotel when I interviewed Breland. And you could hear, like, we sleep with a white noise machine in our hotel room, and I could hear it when I got off the elevator. Yeah. So I'm like, if somebody's singing at the top of their lungs at a hotel room, they got to be getting complaints. And I'm glad I got to the bottom of that. I just have always wanted to know that.
And a Eastern European country of Georgia, of all places as well. That was the most fascinating part to me. The hotel room was interesting, but I thought it was fascinating that all of this was kind of conceived internationally. Like the music video he filmed in Japan, he was rolling through Eastern Europe or Georgia. Like, who knew Breland was so international?
Right. No clue, man. But that's the thing with a lot of the artists nowadays, the newer artists, is that it's so different than it was in the old days, not the old days, but like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, an artist, you know, had to have a radio hit. They had to have an MTV, CMT hit, you know, for people to know who they are. And then they build up from that. And nowadays we've seen it over and over again where these artists start from like nothing and get boosted right to the top, you know, And I think Breland was one of those artists that when he came out, he instantly got co-signed by like Keith Urban and all these other huge artists. And he's been performing with them for years and years. And honestly, on the radio side of it, you know, with my radio show, Taste of Country Nights, that airs on radio stations across America, we don't play a lot of any. I don't think we play any Breland songs. So, like, if I went on the radio and started talking about Breland, not a lot of people would understand, would know who he is. But, like, now if we talk about Breland on the digital side, they know who he is.
Was My Truck a big radio hit? Don't touch my truck.
I don't think so. No, I don't think we played it. I don't think we played it at all.
This was COVID time, so a lot of things are forgetting. Let's see what we got here. My Truck, big digital hit, obviously. It was number 24 on the Hot Country Songs. I don't know. Did it crack the radio airplay?
I don't think we played it. I don't really, to peel a curtain back here, I don't really have much say at all, really, in the music that we play.
It never,
you know, that's all picked by other people, but we, you know, that's one thing that has been different for me over the years, so the 7 years of hosting this show, is that you can go from, you know, I there's some artists I can't talk about on the radio simply because right. the radio audience might not know who they are, but there's artists that I could, those same artists I could talk about on a podcast or write an article at tasteofcountry.com about, and everybody, or even on Facebook, everybody knows who they are. But since we don't play them on the radio, it's, and there's a lot of those now. Like I'm trying to give it, Tucker Wetmore was one where he sold out his tour before he even recorded enough songs to like play more than a 15-minute show of originals. And the, it just goes on and on. But then there's others like Bailey Zimmerman who seemed to crack the code at the same time, because Bailey got famous online and we played all of his songs immediately. So I wish I knew what it was.
I don't get it either sometimes. Coe Wetzel is one of those artists as well. He had one big radio hit, but he sells out like Houston Rodeo and like these huge venues, like way, has way more success as a digital artist. We just talked to Paul Kalfin last week. He certainly falls into that camp of artists.
Yeah, like we haven't played any of his music on the radio, but certainly people know who they are. Yeah, you're right, man. It's do you think we'll ever get to the bottom of like what it is?
Radio is just weird, man. That's what it is. Is it's kind of a programming formula that still sort of goes back to the olden days of radio with people actually selecting songs and trying to guess what soccer moms like. And here's the other thing. Like, you might go to a streaming service searching for a song that you want to hear, and then you play it a bunch of times, and then you move on to the next song. Like, radio, to a certain extent, is trying to put together a playlist that gets people listening all day long. So songs that really stand out are different, maybe a little polarizing. Even though people are rushing to streaming platforms to find them, that might be a tune-out moment for some people on the radio during the day, and we don't want that as a radio.
Nailed it. And might I also say, for all the naysayers that are going to be like, well, radio's dead, nobody's listening, right? I got to be the one guy that points out there's multiple huge businesses and organizations that have done research that is all out there that just shows that radio is still thriving, even with younger generation. It's the final destination when you're in your car. A lot of people, it's the last thing you hear before you get out and go somewhere. So it's influential. It's still on paper. That's not just me as a radio guy saying that. So it's, you're right though. It's very niche or Nietzsche or whatever. So whatever it is, but it's still one of the main things that I think Breland gets caught in. And I hope that this song crosses over and gets him into the radio side and has more people know his name, you know, because he can still do these huge Breland and Friends benefit shows with huge artists, and he's friends with all these artists. They all know who he is. I think he just needs that radio hit.
So he actually has one radio hit, and let's see if you remember what it is. It wasn't, he was a collaborator on a song. This is arguably the song that he's best known for. It's his highest streaming song on Spotify. Probably the song he made the most money out of, because he's a co-writer on it, although there are like 18 co-writers, so who knows how much money he made. Can you recall?
Is it with Keith Urban?
Nope. Same label. Same generation, kind of. Well, a little older.
Kenny? No, that's not the same.
Dierks Bentley, Hardy, and Breland all performed Beers on Me, a big old smash hit back in
year that was. Yes. And see, that goes to show you, and you heard in the Breland interview where he talks about music as age, you know, universal age. Dierks Bentley, you know, and it could be 50 or whatever. Breland's in his 30s. But beside that fact, those are two heavyweights in country music, and they know Breland. And Breland knows them enough to put them on that song. And it's like, I feel like Nashville, the inner Nashville circle of artists, know and love Breland.
Yeah.
And the audience is catching up.
He's got gold certified songs with Keith Urban, that Thomas Rhett song that he performed on the ACMs 1 year that I thought was just a banger of a song, Praise the Lord. That was also gold certified. So he has like some sneaky success, but he could use like that. We're kind of deep in the weeds on this one, I guess, but he could use that hit to sort of break him through. And I hope this one ends up being it for him, because he's such a fun dude, right? He's like one of those interviews, and we have these all the time, where like the interview is so good. You're like, people need to see this to see how fun this guy is. But just based on like the name recognition, it doesn't end up getting as many views as someone who is maybe more well-established but boring to talk to.
I know. It stinks. The only thing I can hope for is that once he blows up, their video will resurface, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's always the wish. Rarely happens, yeah. But that's always the wish.
Right. Well, yeah, man, this was awesome. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask about, or should I go ahead and start teeing up next week?
No, that's right. Well, he's got the Breland and Friends coming up, I think, on April 8th. But beyond that, no, we got some great podcasts and great videos coming with interviews.
Hold on. I got a list. Hold on. Okay, we have Adam Sanders coming up, who's got a song on Marshalls, right?
That's correct. Yep, it's coming on April 12th. Adam Sanders, who won The Road, has a song on the Marshalls, so that'll be good.
We got Aaron Watson stopping by the week after that with Larkin Poe. They are a duet of sisters that are very smart. That was hard for me to interview, not being the smartest cookie in the basket. But they and then Corey Kent, Wade Jennings. And then coming up in May, we have a huge lineup already with Ty Herndon, who's going to have a best-selling book by then if he doesn't already now. And Amy Grant stops by, which we're very pumped about as well. So a lot coming up here. Make sure you tune in and keep us on your streaming device. Like us, subscribe. Gosh, I have been saying this for 7 years. I still can't wrap it up right. Thanks for listening.